You know, ready?
Yeah, ready.
Everybody ready? This is the big one. This is the big one. Guys, welcome back to the Small Time Critics Podcast. I'm one third of the Small Time Critics. My name is Mo.
Kim.
Mohamed Ashu.
And guys, we got a return.
Big, big return.
Return of the King. Return of the King. Guys, we have a special guest once again. Please, round of applause, guys, for Ken from Ken Reviews.
Love that.
Ken, thank you for joining us. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, man.
Guys, as you can see from the title of the video, we are doing a June 2, Part 2 review, directed by Denis Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
You
almost got it. Almost.
You sent me that video of that guy. That was like, every time he reviewed it, Denis Villeneuve. That guy, he was struggling.
This white guy said, Denis Villeneuve.
He said Denis Villeneuve
as well, guys.
Yeah. Really?
So somebody corrected.
Wow.
Villeneuve.
Because he's got the accents in that.
Bro,
on the letters, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Throws me off.
He's a French Canadian.
And it's not even Denis, it's Denis, isn't it?
Denis.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Denis, man. I gotta apologize. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what? Yes. Let's go.
Thank you.
I don't know why you are excited. I ain't apologizing to you. Guys. I don't know what's happening over here. Brother.
Who are you gonna apologize to?
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all my movie lovers.
Oh yeah.
But Denis, my bad, man. I understand the setup now. I get it. Because
you're not believable.
Bro, listen.
But the thing is,
I watched part one late, right? Okay. I watched it after everyone was saying this is 9 out of 10. This is 10 out of 10. They love it, yeah. Mm. So when I watched it, I was like, this ain't 9 out of 10. This ain't that. You know what I mean? Like it's cool and everything, but it was a lot of world building, a lot of setup for the whole time, and it was super long for that, in my opinion.
You know, for the audience, I'm shocked you didn't put a Mohammed in front of that apology. But okay.
No, you're not getting one.
Right.
You're not getting one.
All right, fair play.
But this one here, this was history, in my opinion. This is gonna go down for a lot of people as their favorite movie ever, I think. Like, do you know what I mean? For a lot of people.
I heard that a lot, by the way.
This was
the screening that we're at.
Yeah, I heard that a lot as well.
Christopher Nolan said this was like The Empire Strikes Back. This is like, I saw someone say this is like The Two Towers. This is like The Dark Knight. Do you know what I mean? I saw that. Do you know what I mean? Please.
I have a rebuttal. I don't know if the word is rebuttal. I have a question.
Real quick, no spoilers though, yeah?
Yeah, no spoilers. We don't even talk about the film at all. Is this being received so well?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the trash we've been getting in the last.
This is a great point. We've been absolutely starved recently. So
There was a question I was going to bring up because.
Fed scraps.
Yeah. So there was a question I was going to bring up about this because this was obviously meant to come out last year and it would have been battling with Oppenheimer, which is up for Best Picture, right? So.
Barbie, man.
Shout out to Barbie every time. But I'm saying, if this came out last year, Would Nolan have been struggling a little bit?
Nolan would be struggling. Killy would have been struggling. Yeah. I reckon. Yeah. Maybe.
Not for acting.
This guy. I don't think he'll be struggling.
Still. For Best Picture, maybe I agree, but not for acting.
And all the below the line awards as well.
Yeah. But it missed out on the Oscars. Can it still be eligible for next year's Oscars?
Of course, it's gonna be eligible. It's gonna absolutely. Yeah. I reckon it'll sweep.
But probably so much coming out in the year that.
Yeah.
Can get me.
Yeah. There is,
there are a couple of sleepers, possibly.
No, I'm just saying, this is him. This is him.
Denis is him. All right, guys, non-spoilers then, man. Let's just get into it. Ken, as our guest, please, can you hit us with a non-spoiler review?
Mega piece, masterpiece, piece of peace.
Everything a piece.
Wicked film from beginning. And you know what I liked about the beginning, no spoilers, it literally kicks off where the last
straight
one.
Literally carrying.
Did you man catch the title card at the start before the Warner Bros thing?
Yes, I did, and I was surprised by that. I was like, I've never seen that happen before.
What was the title card?
It was Power of Spice is the Power of Life.
Oh yeah, cool.
Then they showed the Warner Brothers thing and then it started, isn't it? But Hashi, no spoilers.
This is an outstanding film, honestly. Like, it's one of those films where, like, there was parts of it I'm just like, I'm starting laughing to myself at how incredible it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, I cannot believe what I'm seeing, kind of thing. And at times, I was like so taken aback by the visuals. Like, it was overwhelming at times. I just couldn't believe it. Yeah. I just couldn't believe it. And thanks to this brother right here. This brother, he got us an early.
For real. Yeah, I couldn't make it, but shout out to you, Ken.
Listen, Ken. Appreciate it, man. I appreciate you so much for that, man. And we saw it in glorious IMAX. Mm. We provided food and drink. Mm. It's an outstanding
for free.
For free? It was incredible.
For
man.
Free?
For free, bro. It was just outstanding, man.
Oh my God. Them things, sometimes you get some, get me. Some nice little food. So like Aquaman, there was like Aquaman teddy bears on.
They better give you some extra stuff for that.
I collected like 7 of them. Well, my kids, I was a hero that night in my house.
Yeah, oh, can I imagine?
Everyone got 2 each.
Yeah.
Get me?
You gotta love
Daddy's
that.
Lit.
Daddy's lit. Love that. Love
I know
that.
That's amazing. That's that way.
But yeah. There's a lot to unpack with this film. I love this film so much. There are a couple of things we are going to talk about that we'll talk about throughout the review, but just non-spoiler wise, like, Denis did it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Kem, got non-spoiler for us?
The only thing I could have to say is, as I said before in a TikTok post, is this is a statement for 2024. A very rude statement saying, come check me. If you have anything about you, come check me. We could talk about it. That's all I have to say.
Nah, this was incredible, man. This was crazy. This, and I'm not going to lie, this might have one of the best third acts in a movie that I've ever seen in a long time. In a long, long time. Let me tell you something. You know when that third act is happening, yeah? There's a scene in that third act. I literally wanted to stand up and watch it like this.
Same.
I wanted to be like this.
Same.
Bro.
I know.
Like, you know how your dad watches the news?
Yeah.
I wanted to be like this. Like standing. I couldn't sit down, bro. I was on the edge of my seat. Yeah. It was that good.
Listen. I've got a little thing to call these kind of movies, man. This was an edgier seat movie. Like, I paid for a full seat. Yeah. You know what I mean? The second time I watched it, but all I needed was edge.
Yeah.
100%. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Should we spoilers?
Let's go into it.
Alright, before we get into spoilers, guys, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Please subscribe. Just subscribe. They ain't gonna do nothing to you. Like, just do it.
We've got Ken here. Subscribe, man.
You know what I'm saying? Click it. Subscribe to Ken Ked Reviews too.
Exactly,
you know
man.
What I mean?
Click it.
Socials are down there. You know what I mean? So yeah. But hit the bell so you know when the videos are coming out. If you ain't seen this movie, we're about to get the spoiler reviews. If you don't care, keep watching. If you do care, definitely go and watch this movie for sure.
1,000%.
Yeah, but spoilers.
Let me quickly say something Ken, about
please.
Spoilers.
Go ahead.
Rebecca Ferguson is frightening in this movie. She is frightening. You see the works, the inner works of how politics actually operates. Mm. She knows what she's doing. Mm. This woman is dangerous.
Mm.
And it comes through in everything she does, even in the subtle tone of her voice.
Mm. Yeah.
She played them all, innit?
100%.
Let me ask you a question about Becky, because she's Becky to me.
Like that, yeah. Shout out to her,
You see the voice? You see when they go into... Is that...
Wait, sorry, what's the Ben and Jesuit?
Yeah? Ben and Jesuit.
Ben and Jesuit.
Ben and Jesuit. Ben and Jesuit.
Is it real? Do you think... Or is it supposed to... Guys, use your imagination kind of thing?
I never thought of that.
What do you mean?
You know when they do the voice to
compel
people?
No, but what
do you
mean? Is it real?
So, I mean, is it... Are these lots speaking through spirits, or they're just cinematography trying to use audio to let you know, yo? So, like, for example, when he goes, silence!
Yeah.
But it was like some demon voice.
No, because...
Go on.
From what I understand, when they drink that, they have the knowledge of all of the... The like, for example, when she drank it to become the what's her
Reverend position? Mother,
Reverend Mother, she had all of the like knowledge of the past of Reverend Mother. So I imagine it as all of them saying it at one time.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But also, he drank it as well.
Yeah.
No, but he had the power to do it before. That's why he was a special one.
There you go.
So he was okay. All of this was the Bene Gesserit sort of ways and teachings how to sort of manipulate people, how to compel people to do stuff. So he's already had that. He opened his mind with the worms, the drink of life, water of life. The
water of life, yeah.
So he only opened his mind to access to all the knowledge and everything. It has nothing to do with him having the voice to compel, because in the first one, when it was on the Ornithopter, and she was bound, she was gagged, and he had to say to the guy, release my mum. Right. So he had that power before.
Yeah, he did.
And he's now coming to his own.
You're right,
so maybe accessing power.
Wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
The psychic link thing. But they weren't using it in this one.
Not that much. Obviously, she used it to...
when she was talking to the baby,
yeah.
To the baby, and also towards the end, when she said to the other Reverend Mother, played by Charlotte Rampling.
Yeah, they were having
a saying, like, yeah, like, look, you chose the wrong side. And she goes, and it's just amazing. She goes, sides? There are no sides.
But listen, one of my favorite parts, you know when she said, when he said silence? Mm. She was like, abomination. I'm not gonna laugh, I'm laughing.
It is so funny, bro.
Vincent in my house.
Yes.
Hey, listen.
But even though we have the funny aspect to it, do you know how sort of...
There's not really a funny aspect.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. But it is so profound. Yeah. Like, in the cinema, especially, the audio. It literally resonates in your chest. Yeah. When he said sight, I was like, okay.
Did anyone have like a... I never watched this in IMAX, right? But is there a problem?
Shout out Kemi. This brother seen it twice in IMAX.
Twice in IMAX. And the reason why I saw it the second time in IMAX, because I don't mind watching it again. The first time, I caught an edge seat in it. And I didn't... Well, I saw the whole movie, loved it. But it was an edge seat, so I was like this the whole time. Yeah. I wanted a full frontal.
Kemi, you're like, what?
Huh?
You're like, just do that again?
How are you watching it?
But I'm just saying, like, what you get in IMAX, I'm talking just...
No, but like, what I wanted to say is, like, I don't know if it was my cinema or the sound mixing or something like that, but sometimes when some of these characters talk, I don't catch every word.
Yeah, it's your cinema.
That's your cinema.
IMAX, bro. I told you, seen film.
No, but there's like, I don't know, like they're saying sentences and I'm like, what was that word in the middle he said?
Everything was clear. Everything was clear, bro.
It's just me.
Just you.
It's my fault?
This could be a moment.
Yes.
Why is that a moment?
Yes, it is.
You lot are just changing the definition of moment at this point.
He's right, It's not.
Like, what are we doing?
It is actually.
No, but to be honest, you need to see it in IMAX.
Yeah.
It's an experience.
I need to see it in IMAX, God, man.
This guy's a punk, you know that? I'm trying to help him.
To get back to the review, obviously the first movie was a boy becoming a man, you know what I mean? A prince wanting to become a king. And this movie was the man understanding his role and what needs to be done from the death of his father and living up to his and finding his way, because that's all he wanted to do, find his way. Because he talked to his dad about becoming king and whether or not he could do it, and fantastic speech by Oscar Isaac in that film. And now in this film he even talked to his dad. He said he on the dune, like about halfway through the movie, about the and he kind of just spoke to the clouds. He said, I found my way. You know what I mean? Just talked to his father. He said, I found my way, kind of thing.
Let me ask Mo. Can I ask Mo? Do you feel for Zendaya?
Do I feel for her? Yeah, man.
Listen,
that was deep.
Listen,
for her,
bro.
That was deep, man.
By the way, there's a whole. There's a whole colonizer aspect we need to get into, by the way.
No, listen, when, like, that last scene when he said, listen, I'll take your Florence Pugh as my wife.
Gangster. Listen. Yo, I'm going to marry her.
No, but I'm not gonna lie. You can't.
You
went like this to him. And then he stamped his face and kissed that shit. You know what I'm saying? Hey, he told my man to kiss my ring. But nah, people in my cinema are like,
clutching their pearls.
They clutch their pearls, bro.
Even in the advanced screen, like, they're clutching their pearls.
Because literally 30 seconds before that, he said to her, I will love you to the day I stop breathing, like, or something like that, whatever. And I'm like, brother.
Oh, I've got so much questions, man.
Shout out to the Toxic Kings.
But now, I think we need to talk about
Javier Bardem. Can we just do that?
I was just about to say, we need to talk about Javier Bardem.
He is cold.
And I think it's a perfect time to talk about Javier Bardem and also belief and how it's used in the movie as well. Let's go into Stigler.
No, because it's one and the two.
Quickly before you move on to that, I think this was just as much a Zendaya film than it was
a Shadow film.
Hey, man,
100%.
Totally, 100% agree with that.
I think, obviously, I think there was a lot of chatter about the last one had Zendaya for about 20 seconds in the movie.
Yeah.
So now being in there, she's actually come and proven her worth in this one. Because with Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah.
Timothée Chalamet in this one, he done what he needed to do to get where he needed to get. She was the assist. She assisted him the whole way.
Yes.
And then to drop her off like that, it break my heart, man.
But anyway, to go into Stigler, Javier Bardem.
Stilgar.
By the way, just an outstanding performance. So much fun. I don't think I've ever seen an actor have so much fun.
But his comedic timing, man.
Incredible.
Hey, when he said, listen, when he said, nah, I'm not the chosen one, I'm not the guy. Then the next scene, he's like, he's so humble. Like, look at him, of course he is. Like, come on. Like,
but
that was
bro, even with the last fight,
yeah.
And when he's like, Hakim!
No, those ones there, they killed me because it's like every time someone wanted to be the first person to say it, they would be like, Paul would say something, they'd be like, it's Hakim!
And also, like, even there, when he says to them, I'm going to send you out onto the dune.
Yeah.
Just go through that little passage and come back. And he goes, watch out for all of these things. You know what I mean? And he talks about the gins and the trapdoor spiders. And he goes, not the big ones.
Just the little ones.
Just the little ones.
But the little ones quite big as well.
And he has to scare him, isn't it? And then he laughs. It was so funny, man. Nah, and yeah. Even with the scene in the after they basically take all the water from Janus and put it into the water with the rest of the people, the past kind of for Daikin. Even he says to her, you know what I mean? Don't ever give your tears to anyone. Hey, you know what I mean? He just takes it off and he's just like.
Mm. I had to tweet that. What did he say? Don't ever waste your tears.
Even on the dead.
That's
but, mad. Yeah. And even when she was having morning sickness and she's like, keep it in. You know what I mean? He goes, don't let it out.
What was that
don't
about?
Let it out.
I don't get it.
Like, don't waste your moisture.
Oh.
Yeah, but,
I mean, she got held that.
But I keep on going back to Rebecca Ferguson though.
Like, she's one of my favorite actresses right now.
But there is so much in this that is so conflicted. One, I'm conflicted with her because one, like, I really feel for her because she's even in that scene, she's like, she's really sort of taken aback by the sacrifice and the amount of water that people, and he said all the souls, and you could see. But then once she's opened up to the water of life, she's a witch.
No, but also, it goes into the religious aspect, doesn't it? Because she can see, and she's really like emotionally affected by how powerful belief is.
Mm-hmm.
These people will not drink this water, even if they are dying of thirst.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That tells you everything you need to know. And I thought religion in this film was used to really show the inequity of kind of power, and trying to rule at all costs and trying to have true, complete controlling power, basically.
Do you believe that religion was handled with care in this movie?
Yeah. I reckon they had a whole department that said, look, don't cross this line, don't cross this line.
Mm.
You can talk about this, but don't talk about this.
Right.
There's a lot of, how can I say, Islamic mannerisms.
Yeah. And Arabic, Mahdi,
Yeah, in Arabic. Yeah.
The Mahdi and all of those things, yeah.
All of them thing there.
Listen, Al-Ghaib.
But then the blend with, I don't know if it's witchcraft or sorcery, it was handled well.
Yeah. Even obviously, like, the way they are praying was something that they kind of changed. And there was a slight difference in the book as well, because there was more kind of like similar kind of like subdued kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas it wasn't. It was more kind of them putting their hands over their head kind of thing, and kind of bowing down and coming back up straight kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to your point, Kim, I felt they towed the line.
Yeah.
And I felt it wasn't kind of like a caricature of any like specific religion, specifically like Islam in this instance, but. For me, what I found very, very interesting is how religion was used to control people and control people of lesser means.
People have these conversations today.
Exactly.
They talk about like, yo, Christianity, Islam, all of these things, they just did that to control you lot and things like that.
Zendaya's speech hit different.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So everyone's going to be different about that.
Well, I think that's a great, it's a great thing because it leaves people talking.
Yeah.
And there's so many sort of conversations to be had after a piece like this.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to ask Ken, do you think that the lack of the use of the voice and Paul's powers played a good part, or do you reckon he should have used it more?
So for me, I ain't read the books.
Okay.
I'm familiar with Dune.
Yeah.
And the bits of the history, but I haven't read the books, so I don't know his powers.
Yeah, me neither.
So what this film's done has heightened my anticipation for it now. Because you get glimpses, like the voice thing.
Mm.
There's clearly something in there. Man are riding worms and that now. Something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I even sent a tweet about it saying this is like Space of Thrones. And the way this
Space
world,
of Thrones.
Yeah.
This brother can get a soundbite,
the
man.
Whole world is being built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's room for dragons. There's room for anything.
Yeah.
You see, when you mentioned the trapdoor spiders, I don't like spiders. So straight away, I was like,
there's going to be some incredible stuff that you're going to see in the next film.
Hey, but that scene when he had to control the worm.
By the way, that's a make or break.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no,
set piece.
That was a moment.
That was the last test. Huge. But then let me ask though. Yeah. So obviously, I'm trying to get into the logistics of this. So when he done the hook thing on the worm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Opening the flap was to sort of gain control.
Yeah.
Of like, was that to sort of like, would the worms submerge?
The worms resisting. Is resisting the control on it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, opening the flaps, would it not now dive deep because the flaps are open, so he couldn't really.
Yeah, so what I imagined was exactly what you said there, mm-hmm. but then to turn left, he will open or close one side.
Of the flap. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, there must be some sort of logic to it because it's a big worm, and then like obviously opening the flaps wouldn't want to dive in. Yeah,
it wants to close everything before it.
They've
dives.
Ticked everything. Mm. They've literally checked every box. Yeah. Every box.
We can go into the technical
that
stuff.
Scene was
which one? The riding thing.
The worm one. Yeah.
You know when the camera's behind him,
yeah,
and he's walking,
yeah,
and you can see the worm coming. You're like,
But was there any sort of worry that even though you know he's a chosen one?
For me, when they said, "Oh, it's a grandfather," worm, I'm thinking,
there was worry still.
Yeah, I was like, it was mad. And when
they're not small worms, man.
He's a huge man. He caught the biggest one, you know what I'm saying? And the way he dived down, and all you see is sand. All I see is darkness, is sand. He's going down. Then he hits the worm, and then he's trying to hold on. And you see him literally going airborne.
I have to be honest, that's the moment when I said, yeah, he's that guy.
He's that guy,
I didn't, you know?
Yeah.
Before that, I was still, you know how you said the first one is him, a boy becoming the man? Yeah. Up until that boy, I still thought he was a boy trying to like understand his place in this like world and being the chosen one and stuff like that. But when he did that, I was like, you know what? Shout out to you.
This
Paul.
Is why you need to go back for IMAX. I swear you can hear the sound of the sand grain.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm gonna watch it in IMAX.
Okay.
The rumble.
Different. But now, okay. I know. I keep asking questions. So I was upset the fact that. At first, I was a bit apprehensive of Austin Butler's presence in this.
Why?
No, I don't know. I think it's the Elvis. But then to have him for so short, I wanted more of him.
Listen, I
wanted more
of him. Nah, but guys, it was actually enough for me to be like, this guy is one of the rudest boys.
Perfect.
He's a rude boy.
I totally agree.
Like, do you know,
MVP
bro?
For me in the whole film.
Is it? No. Over Javier.
Bro. I'm mad at him. You see that?
For any action film,
the
source of a successful action film is the villain.
You're only as good as your villain.
You're only good as your villain. Yes. Exactly. Bob.
And he was a bad
You know when I clocked it? The Colosseum scene, yeah? I love a guy that can just be like, I'm ruthless by myself. Stay back. I'm going to do this on my own. It's
back.
Cool. Like, do you know what I mean? I will take them out by myself. And then Batista came. He thought, "Hey, you think you're that guy?
Bro,
you gave one little kick, bah, kiss my foot."
I love how they treated Batista's character. in if you go back, obviously I'm not trying to get it. If you go back and watch the first one, you realize after watching the second one, you realize
how fragile he is.
Fragile, but he is a coward.
Oh yeah,
he's a coward. And then you see it, and it's like, okay, yeah, he's really a coward. But when he fled,
he ran. Yeah, he ran.
You can see this guy was really feared for his life.
Now, but said, come here,
but, yeah, bro. No, and you see the one where he ran. Timothy had a little Batman scene. He was taking them out in the darkness and all of that stuff. My and guy then he saw like, them walking up. And he's like, nah, I bro, this.
Raban was like, nah, this ain't me. This ain't me.
I was looking forward to a Batista and Brolin fight.
So this is one of my gripes. There's subplots in this that weren't fully fleshed out for me. Like in terms, like Josh Brolin talking about, yo, Raban, he killed a lot of my people. He gave me the scar, all of that stuff. And then when they met, he very
three blows. Three blows.
I was okay with that though. I was okay with the ruthlessness. The reason why I don't like certain things, I hate when it's prolonged. Like, you know, when you have those monologues, I just love the fact that he went and did the job, showing the audience, in my opinion, that this is just a side piece.
No, I get you, but also at the same time, you can't be like, he did this to me, and then, like, why didn't you just kill him like that before when you had?
Because he never had the opportunity.
Yeah.
He gave him a scar. They rocked it out. They already rocked it out.
Monologues.
Yeah.
But I needed a battle.
You needed a battle. Like 30 seconds. Give me 30 seconds of them fighting. That's it.
I agree.
Just that's a little fight. Let him block the first one and then get
him. Do you know what I'm saying?
The Assassin Creed'd him.
Yeah.
He just walked up.
It was too fast.
But one thing, guys, we have to go back to the Colosseum scene. And even the scene before that, when you see who he is, literally killing his girls, cannibalizing them. I was wondering how they're gonna show the cannibalism of the Harkonnens. I was wondering how they're gonna show that, bro. And I thought they did a pretty good job of showing how destructive.
What's wrong with him? Like, he's like, let me see which knife. Sing.
Bro, it's not even the throat cutting. It's when he's like.
Yeah, he's like,
no. For me, it was so strange because the thing is, like, he automatically knows he's not sharp because he put it on his tongue and he didn't bleed.
Yeah.
And he still kills him and he's not sharp. You know what I mean? Look, he just did test on his, he didn't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Which is wild.
Even later on, when they're talking about, like, how to approach the battle or whatever it is, there was one guy that piped up a little bit.
My pets hasn't eaten yet.
But also,
bring him to my quarters.
Also, with Fade, like, he's someone obviously who loves tradition in it. He just wants to be the best in it. This guy is like an emotionally like non-intelligent human being in it. This guy is he's a psychopath at the end of the day.
He doesn't really have loyalties or anything like that.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And
brother, was there?
He's sadistic.
There you go.
And I loved it. I don't know why. 100%.
Because I totally agree with you. He's MVP. And he's MVP because he showed how disgusting a human being alien he is, and he didn't kind of take up too much of the film.
No.
And I just thought it was such a great performance from him because people were saying he can't do the accent. It was incredible, man. And I felt
the makeup
like
even. All the makeup was great.
The Colosseum fight, though, I just wanted to mention one thing, though, before we move on. Obviously, it's under the black sun of the planet. Beautiful. And obviously, the black and white and just the way it looks is so beautiful. Obviously, the two fighters are drugged, and you get that kind of like setup, and you get the actual payoff of like that fantastic. By the way, the first great kind of combat scene in the film, outstanding choreography. Outstanding choreography.
Yeah, because I that was one of my gripes was the fights before that Colosseum scene. It was almost like there was a lot of cuts, not a lot of cuts, but there wasn't like as much as like. Like, for example, that scene in the Colosseum and the last scene that we're going to talk about in a second, obviously, it was just there. We just saw that and we saw all of the movements perfectly and stuff. But the ones before that, I wasn't too satisfied
even
with personally.
Even the opening, in terms of
I wasn't too satisfied with those fight scenes. But, bro,
the thing threw me off, though, the black sun. It threw me off because then when he was in normal light, he looked like almost
normal. Yeah, no, because that's just how the sun,
that in the end, but I'm saying Batista always looks pale though.
Yeah,
he didn't look.
No,
like
there's a lot of them that are way different. They look obviously, a lot of them are also half breeds. Because similar to obviously, if you look at Jessica, obviously she's a, and she doesn't. Yeah, she's got the black hair, but obviously she hasn't been on the planet for that long. Underneath their black sun, why didn't look like that?
As well as obviously you've got Paul with the eyes. Obviously being on Arrakis?
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously he's now, because he's been there for so long, his eyes now turn blue.
And yeah. throughout the movie, they're getting bluer and bluer and bluer as well.
But yeah, literally.
Do you know all that stuff because of the books?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's
yeah.
a little problem.
Because I've never read the books.
Yeah.
Yes. There are those very small details.
I'm praying there's some revival, because Butlin needs to come back.
Don't spoil it, man.
I'm not going to say nothing.
Just wait. But okay, could we talk about the Baron and obviously Rebecca's character? Baron,
can I just say something?
Vladimir Harkonnen, go on.
Yeah. Can I say something, though? You know when they came and they started like bombing all of the mountains?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then King Kong Bundy was like... he looks like King... Right, listen, Google King Kong Bundy. Yeah. He looks like him.
Yeah.
He was like... Ah, guns.
Good old fashioned idea.
Yeah. I was like, you didn't think about this. Like, you had.
No, but he went running the show before.
It was Rabon.
He was running the show.
But he could have easily told him, do that, though. Like, yeah, but I don't understand.
Again, Batista.
Yeah, something like that. No.
Yeah. But Batista's clearly, he's not competent. He's going through everything with rage and...
No, I don't know. I just, in that moment, I just thought to myself, this is the first time you'd have thought of that idea, yeah. like, to
no,
do
to
that?
No, to be fair, it was Faye's idea, though.
Yeah.
The artillery.
No, but anybody's idea, like, yeah. any one of us, no, I feel like, would have been like, just do that no, but first. Like.
They didn't, well, to my understanding, they didn't actually know the location. They didn't know the location or where they were.
So they just...
No, but I think you say, even from the first film,
mm-hmm. yeah.
there's lack of guns.
Yes.
But for me, that's why I liked the film.
Right.
Because it was more hand-to-hand sword fighting. Yeah.
Just a bit of background for you guys who are non-book readers. This is obviously set in
10,000... It felt like an attack, man.
Yeah, choose your words carefully.
I got it all by myself.
Sorry. What are we doing?
sorry. My bad, guys. But obviously this is set in like the 10,000s, isn't it? So that world has made a conscious effort to forego any technology in regards to computers. And AI as well, specifically AI and computers. Hence the reason why they have technology that looks not primitive, but different to anything of our time. You know what I'm
yeah, it's not that like the imagination on like the technology that they did have. Like for example, Florence Pugh, when she's logging things and that machine that's just spinning around and is right. Like I would, in a million years, I wouldn't think of something like that.
Yeah.
Like I would never think of something like that. Yeah. Like his mind is crazy, this guy.
Sorry, one point I need to add to that is the reason being is because spice entering the world when it did opened up people's minds, stuff like that, and they thought, let's not concentrate on anything else in life other than spice. Hence the reason why spice is so important in that world. It's like the most important thing is it's their currency, it's their fuel, it's everything. You know what I'm saying?
My last point on Butler,
yeah,
I liked his story arc because it reminded me of Achilles,
yes,
in Troy, yes,
yeah,
a character, he's a problem,
yeah,
but we need him,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
because Butler was a big.
He was,
and he fired.
Do you reckon? Do you reckon he? Because there was times that I felt that he could have been an ally to Paul because he's so. Don't reason. Hear me out. Because he's all about honor. Yeah. Even though he's sadistic, he's still about honor. Because when he fought the guy in the Colosseum, even though the Baron sort of kind of set him up, he still accepted the fact, he enjoyed the fact, he relished the fact, and that also, it was a fair fight.
Also, he started the movie the way he ended it. He said, you know what I mean, you fought well, Atreides.
Yeah.
And he died saying, you fought well, Atreides.
But you know what I didn't, obviously on the second watch, you know what I didn't realise, yeah? You saw the fatal poke.
So this is the great thing about the rewatch, because you could see certain parts of the film in the flashbacks and what was to come and stuff like that.
Like,
and you saw the final blow.
You're watching IMAX.
Yo,
I'm on you today, bro. I can't
believe
he's
on you, bro.
I didn't see the full screen in it. No, like, I didn't see them. They cut that one. On my
so
screen.
They show it at the start and towards the end after he's drank from the water of life.
Yeah.
He's talking about all the possible. He sees a narrow way through.
Doctor Strange thing. I hear it. Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, but that was cold.
But yeah, no. That's his granddaddy, Baron.
Yeah,
is his granddad,
bro. And the way he finished again, going back to the quick get it done. I love it. Forget all that long talk,
that one,
man.
No, that one I can understand getting it done because like
the long talk, man. Just get the job done.
He was
done,
being carried by balloons the whole episode. Yeah. Like that was easy.
Walked past a whole army,
yeah.
stabbed man,
yeah.
and then
for his dad, you know,
went to speak to
Chris Walken.
Chris Walken,
Emperor. Yeah.
There's bear guards, bro. Like, why are you shook?
The guy, hey.
They didn't believe he was alive, isn't it? They didn't believe
bro,
he was alive.
Bro, he's him.
Up until that point.
He's him.
No, he is him. He is him.
He's him, man.
He's him.
Again, going back to Zendaya, man. Johnny. I'm upset, man.
No, but his name was Paul, though, man. They should call him Jamal or something, man.
By the way, that is a great... You know what, Mo? Mo, let's talk about this now. That's a great segue. The whole kind of white savior aspect of the film, innit? You can't really get away from it, innit? Mm. What did you guys think of that? And did you think they've dealt with it well? How do you think audiences are going to take it? For me, I know what's to come, innit? But I just want to kind of like understand what you guys think of that.
What, as in the whole white savior thing being a problem?
Yes. And whether or not it's a specific problem for this film?
No, I don't think so. I don't even think about it.
This movie done everything too well for me to even think about that.
So is there a discourse on that?
There's a huge discourse on that.
I didn't even think about that.
And for me, I agree with Ken because you see the fact that this guy at the start, he said, I want you guys to lead, all this kind of stuff. You know what
right.
I mean? Doing the right things. And then as soon as he drinks from the water of life, a man that is meant to break the will basically says, I'm going to continue the will. I'm just going to be the one on top. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it ends. So it doesn't show, for me, Paul's not a hero.
I'm reading the book.
Paul's a villain. For me, Paul's a villain.
I'm going to read the book.
I heard a villain angle.
He was becoming worse and worse towards
the
end. Yeah.
From what he did to Zendaya.
Yeah.
And then he moves on to, look, we're going over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he was turning. So
did you see how he said to her? Like he didn't even put, he said, hey, that's why, you know what? Paul Atreides, he's Jamaican. He's Jamaican. He looked at Florence Pugh, he's like, hey, yo, come in.
You know what's crazy, guys? Like, obviously, I know it's coming, but it's still so shocking. And the way, and also, by the way, did you see the smash cut from obviously Florence Pugh to Zendaya? And you see Zendaya go.
Yeah, Zendaya. She's like, right.
Bro,
she's like,
yeah, you know what?
Going crazy.
What made it a little bit worse? I think I felt so sorry for her, but then the little sprinkles of allow her, man. Every time she tried to pipe up, someone pulled her down.
Oh, wait, listen, when she was walking through all those people and Josh Brolin's like, get you,
bro. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, she's gone. She disappeared.
I was like, allow her, man. Yeah. Let her talk.
But guys, that final scene, man.
Before the final scene.
Go on.
The other fight scenes, though.
Yeah.
I felt like Arrakis was its own character. The use of the sand.
Yeah.
Them hiding. Mm. Like, you could feel the advantage.
Yes.
Yeah. That these lot have when you fight.
Just hiding when they'd pop out the sand and it was, yeah, it was.
And
yeah.
that set piece with them trying to use a rocket launcher to take out the ornithopter. That's one of the best set pieces. That's up there. There's like four set pieces in this film that are up there and like the best set piece in the last
I'm telling movie. You, that third act, bro. That third, I need to watch it again though because I never saw it properly.
IMAX.
IMAX. It has to be IMAX. But can we talk about it, please?
We've got time.
Come on, let him
go. Go on, quickly. Go on.
But just the scene of him trying to run like to the next leg of the thing, of the sand
for
and then you see, cause you've never seen that before, like he has to try and get to the next thing and obviously he's complete timed it wrong and he just about gets to
it
and then you see Zendaya, like she's literally Shawnee's about to die in it, she's about to get like stabbed by the guy behind it, she just rocket launches the guy into the thing and then I've seen things I've never seen before. There's bombs which are magnets.
That's what I'm saying. The imagination of the tech in this is just crazy. And Zendaya, her fights when they started the battle in the end, like her fight scenes, she's rolling cold. Around, she's stabbing cold, people, man. Going.
Yeah, she wasn't she's no cold. Damsel Ooh. In distress. Nah, yeah. She was
a general, man.
I just loved the whole. Obviously, we're gonna get into that right now. But just the way they set up the final kind of battle, what's gonna happen on the ground, all that kind of stuff, fantastic. But Mo, let's go, bro.
Listen.
Sorry. So before that final fight, because of the way the first one ended, I kept thinking, film's going to end here.
It's yeah! Like,
but it just kept going.
Yeah.
And it kept going.
I was like,
oh. Were you okay with that?
Yes!
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, when he went up to the Emperor, Christopher Walken, and he said, listen, he can't fight you, whatever, I'll spare him, I'll marry you, whatever. And then, what's his name, Freud?
Fader.
No, what's his name? And Austin Butler's character.
Yeah. Fade Rafa.
He's like, what, you want smoke? He's like, I'm here.
You see the whole time he's walking around behind people.
Bro, and that's the thing. Like, his dad is dying and he's like, it's cool. His uncle. And he's like, I'm just pick my moment. Don't worry. I'm just stay in the background, whatever. And his moment came. And I was like, here we go. And what I loved about this, no music. All you hear is the sound effects of the punches and the knives.
First of all, you didn't. You need to watch an IMAX. You didn't. I know what you're trying to say, but you didn't. When you watch it, you hear the sound.
When I watch this in IMAX, though.
Trust me, you remember me.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to regret it, I promise you.
But, bro.
But you see what you said as well? That was brilliant. The way he was lurking.
Yeah.
Like, other characters are talking, but you can see him.
So you've always got him in the back of your mind thinking, what is he doing? He's sizing
you're
up.
100% yeah. right. Because the way he was smiling when he first walks in. Because do you know how cold that was? Obviously, the doors exploding off of the Emperor's ship. And then all of those, all of his guards goes into the sand. None of them come back.
But you know, in fact, in regards to the Emperor as well, you realize the power that the Emperor has. Obviously, I know the Baron sort of kind of brushes on it. The power that the Emperor has, it's not sort of
omnipresent. Yeah.
It's not omnipresent. It's based on sort of tactical democracy and stuff
alliances,
like that.
Yeah.
And alliances as well. Because when they sort of shone light on the other houses.
The other great houses, yeah.
Yeah? Then you realise, okay, he's not as powerful as everybody perceives him to be at first.
Yeah.
So when these great houses not sort of heeding to the call of Paul, he said, we're going to take him to paradise.
It's the same with the Baron for me, because when the first movie ended, I was like, oh, this guy's a bad man. And then the second movie is like, he's not really
There's
the bad levels. Man, it's the Emperor. Like,
There's
yeah.
levels.
Yeah,
There's
levels there is levels to it. But
even the Emperor, the way they paint him out to be like some... like a top warrior, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's probably just smart with it.
Even when he said,
he's like a placeholder, he's a figure in it. That's it. Yeah.
Even when they said, when Florence Pugh said, obviously, to get rid of Isaac's character, what's his name?
Leto.
Leto, yeah.
Yeah. Get rid of him. He loved him as a son. But it was a tactical move.
Yes. Political, yeah.
Come on, man. These guys are.
Hey. These guys are cold.
Space of Thrones, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Love that.
Hashtag Space of Thrones.
Let's get it going.
Space of Thrones.
That final fight scene, man. That's when I wanted to get up and fold my arms.
stand up, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like this, bro. I was like, oh my days.
The way
this
it was
is crazy.
Shot as well, the sunset.
And the way it was
everyone was silent in the cinema, like just waiting to see what's gonna happen. And I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know like the way this ended. Obviously, was sort of a cliffhanger with like the houses didn't accept and all of that stuff. Yeah. So we're obviously gonna get a third, hopefully.
I'm thinking
to myself, I don't know, Paul could die here. In my mind, I don't know how this is going to end. You know what I mean?
The crazy thing.
That's what makes it better.
The crazy thing, because I've seen it before and I saw it again and I saw the foresight of him seeing the fight. Even then, I still was on my edge thinking, oh, is he going to go?
It's mad, bro. And that's the great thing about art and what we do is like, I can watch that. I've read the books and I'm still like, oh my God, he's going to die. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
You know, a book has been translated.
Yes.
When you've read it and you're watching it and you're thinking,
where is it going?
Madness.
Yeah.
There's too much.
I say that to people about Game of Thrones as well. Just because you've read the book, don't avoid it. You have to.
You have to watch it.
Take every medium as it is.
Yeah.
That was
incredible, man. Incredible movie.
It blew up the whole, like I mentioned, the hand to hand combat.
Yeah.
It just took it. And these two perform.
Yeah.
So
the choreography, he spins.
Yeah.
And as he spins, he's trying to stab him. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he just moves. Incredible.
Bro.
Every movement was done on purpose.
Bro, they're on the ground. He's blocking the stab with his foot. It's crazy.
Can I just give Ken just a few seconds to sort of talk his talk? So you made a comment. Go watch Ken's review. Non-spoiler review of this. Mm. You made a comment that Star Wars need to watch out. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Listen. So you see that last fight?
Yeah.
Picture that last fight with lightsabers.
Yeah.
It don't work.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
It don't work.
Yeah.
You need to hear the.
Yeah, yeah.
You see when he, you see when he licked his chest, he's like,
yeah.
I was all like, of that.
Yeah.
You see, you can't get that with Star Wars.
Yeah.
You can't. And that's why I keep emphasizing. You see the hand-to-hand combat thing?
Amazing. Yeah.
You know, this was before Star Wars, though, just to let you know. This was
a lot of Star Wars. Obviously, there's spice in Star Wars. Mm. And spice,
I'm saying the original Dune was before Star Wars. So this was all, Star Wars took a lot from this.
Yeah. What's the line he says before he's lost? What's
May your knife chip and shatter.
Hey, yeah.
You know what? Again, this may just be me. After like Paul doing his thing, I kind of wanted Jamis in this, man.
Hey, what? Do you know what? Nah, never mind.
No.
Because I was gonna say, why was Jamis so?
Because he's. I think he was like
I can answer this.
Because like he even said, Jamis, speak to me or something like that.
No, because Jamis is like one of the most feared Fordaiken. Like obviously, he's one of the most feared warriors of the Fremen, and like he was the head of the Fordaiken.
Yeah, that was one of the things that was one of the things I didn't like in the first movie, because he almost like their fight wasn't. Yeah, it was too easy. Paul killed him kind of easy.
Also
in the first one.
But you have to remember.
Was that Jamis?
Yeah,
Jamis, the black guy. Yeah.
So what you have to understand is Jamis in that fight. If you rewatch it, he was so taken aback by the fact that he knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Like he literally visibly and audibly reacted to it. Innit?
Saying that now, I think this may be a gripe that I've just found, that they should have done better in showing Jamis's actual status better than they did.
Yes, yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying. There's subplots in this.
I just found out.
Yeah, so you're right. Like there's subplots in this that could have been fleshed out a little bit more, like the Josh Brolin thing, the Jamis thing and stuff like that. But overall,
let's go rate. Let's rate this.
I just want to quickly just talk about the technical aspects.
We have to end this.
I know we have to. This was all filmed with natural light. So all the setups had to be done multiple times. Because
Abu Dhabi, I heard, was one of the places. Abu Dhabi and
Jordan. Yeah. And
oh, really?
Apparently, Denis, he drove people mad. He drove people crazy. Because they had to do different setups for the same scene. Because of where the light was.
Oh,
wow. All he wanted is natural light.
Yeah.
I thought the sound design was outstanding. I thought all the noises of Stigler, you know what I mean, touching his cheek, all that stuff, incredible.
Yeah,
he's got it.
Listen,
hey,
you could be a Fordaiken.
Shout me!
All right, lads, let's rate this movie, man.
Quickly before you end it,
we're gonna keep it going.
I just want to say there's hope. There's 157 houses.
Yeah.
In this universe. What?
I didn't realize.
It's not ending.
You know when it's finished.
Listen, but he can't go too long, you know.
If it's gonna go long, he needs to die.
So for me, in regards to books, this is the next one's gonna be Dune Messiah. It has to be for me. So it's got to be that.
Sorry, before we finish. Sorry. So
what's her name?
The daughter.
Anya Taylor. So that was the daughter in the future. Yeah.
So the daughter is the daughter. The true sort of
chosen one.
The chosen one, yeah.
Because they said there's another.
No. Yeah. As watch wink, yourself. Wink.
Yeah. You better watch your mouth,
bro. So, yeah. Listen, What's the rating, lads?
Listen. Also, just a big shout out to Craig Frazier. He did the Batman. He's done, what do you call it, Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. Just an incredible cinematographer.
Yeah, cool.
Just this film on every single technical level. Outstanding. Yeah. And so I just got to shout out everyone who was involved in
this. This is, for me, a very, very easy
Hans Zimmer as well.
The Hans Zimmer score.
Oh, come on,
man. Nah, it's crazy. But yeah, this for me, easy 9 out of 10, man. Yep. Easy 9 out of 10.
Yeah, easy 9 out of 10.
I'm 9.5.
9.5, you say, Ken?
I'm a 9.
I'm a 9 as well. But the reason why it's a 9 is because there's certain editing issues. Because I thought that there's certain things which didn't really line up. Like, how did Shawnee get into her ornithopter?
Yeah.
To kind of give the, you know what I mean? To give her tears, you know what I mean?
So why is yours a 9, sorry?
Some editing issues. Because I wanted to see more sand fights as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
But then also, it had to end, bro.
Yeah. No, I hear it. It didn't feel like. It didn't feel like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah. People saying, is it over already?
Yeah.
Mm. So many people saying that.
I felt like I watched the movie just for 2 hours, honestly.
Yeah.
But what are you saying?
No. I didn't want to end. But then
you're so happy about this movie, isn't it,
bro? I said to Hash when we got out, we actually had a conversation and we had to tell each other, just chill, wait till we get into the studio,
yeah,
bro. This movie done something where It's almost like it sort of there was setup, and when you lost hope of the payoff came.
Yeah. You know how I walked out the cinema. You know when they walk on the sand.
hey, the sand does. Yo,
sand walk. Be careful.
You don't want the sand to come, but yeah.
Hey, well, guys, that was our June part two review. Shout out to everyone involved. This was incredible. Let us know in the comments what you guys think of this movie. Then make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Subscribe to Ken.
Yes.
Ken Reviews.
Thank you very much.
Also, thank you to Ken.
Yes. We appreciate you. Socials will be down in the description below for Ken. And yeah, we'll see you guys soon. Peace.
Peace.